Hello and welcome to today's podcast. I am here with Monday, a painter who I will be asking some questions. I'm Verena, this is Voices and Visions. Let's get into it. Hi and welcome to the podcast.
Hi Verena, thank you for this podcast.
Well, thank you for being here.
I'm happy to be here. I've heard so much about your podcast and imagine myself here with you and finally I'm happy to be here.
Oh, thank you. This is so nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my first question for you is, what is the thing that you are grateful for?
Well, I'm so grateful for so many things, but most especially my gift, my talent. And I trace back to where I come from and I really find a lot of gratitude from my family, my parents, and the way they tried to support me until university so that from there I started to go on with my gift. But I'm really grateful for my gift and my visions.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so well, could you just like introduce yourself, tell me about yourself, what do you do, what is the art that you do?
Yeah, Mandé Ahmed, just to say my name again, but my artist name is Mandé. It's also my family name and I come from Uganda originally, but I've been living in Austria since 2020. And
so right, COVID.
In the same period.
Oh, really?
And I'm only specialized in painting, nothing else. I'm a full-time artist, what you would say a professional artist.
Cool.
And I love what I do. I paint various themes, but mainly cityscapes and wildlife. I carry a lot of expressions from my background through these artworks that I do.
So is there like a specific like theme or motive that really carries through all of your paintings?
I think I would say the theme that really carries is wildlife, but also cityscapes partly. But in the wildlife, I expose a lot of energy, a lot of power, a lot of strength, because most wildlives are known for the strength, for the spirit of not giving up. For instance, I love painting lions, elephants, because they have a big spirit of never to give up. And my whole career is carried on believing in myself and never to give up. So that's how I relate mostly to what I do.
Very nice. Do you have like specific animals you paint, or how do you decide on which animals to paint?
I paint a lot of animals, and I would say on the list, the top five, I like to paint gorillas, because gorillas, I feel like it's the best thing that is close to human. So I like gorillas because they have the strength of expression in the eyes, how they live a daily life. It's like when you see a lot of gorillas in my country, in a certain forest, they work like in a community all together. How they take care of their kids from the beginning when they are like born. It's like similar way to human, just like monkeys. When let's say when one of them has like these small insects which go like what you see in the dogs, how they look for these small insects keenly one by one. It's very, very similar to how a human would look for something from their hair. So I like gorillas, I like lions, elephants, I like hyenas, mainly hyenas, because hyenas, I like how they hunt. They never hunt one, they hunt in a group. So for me, it reflects in my work when I'm inspired by hyenas, because when I'm painting, I don't only believe in myself. I also look back from where I started, the people that believe in me, friends, my family, and this is like a spirit of moving together. So I really like this kind of feeling that I have when I'm painting. So I paint, but it doesn't mean that I'm painting just alone. I have a lot of foundation. I have a group of spirits that are behind me, and pushing me to move forward.
Very nice. So you say it's like a spiritual experience, putting all of that kind of had you started and everything that helped you.
Yeah, it was more to believe in myself.
Very nice. Cool. So you really incorporate all of this into one painting.
Yeah. When I do that, I normally do it with, for instance, for that wildlife. Mm-hmm. I'll talk more about that wildlife paintings because this is where I express a lot of energy and feelings, mm-hmm. because it's all about emotions. I try to connect humans to nature in this way, because rarely people go out to the nature to see like wildlife, because some are afraid of how they can be mm-hmm. attacked, stuff like that. But I feel like if I paint different animals which people never seen in their real life, this way they can be there can be a sort of strong communication, because mm-hmm. I often see people emotionally touched, because it's all about emotions and to create this strong bond between humans and animals. And I do that focusing on the eyes. When I paint, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen some of my artworks, but when I paint, I tend to focus on the eyes mm-hmm. mostly. I have a form, but I abstract the form in a colorful way mm-hmm. and then only push my focus to the eyes of the mm-hmm. viewer.
Yeah.
It's a must that they have to get locked in the eyes. Yeah. If I paint like elephants, because these are big structures, I make the feelings or the emotions to be about the body of the form of the animal, of mm-hmm. the elephant, because since it's a huge, giant animal, it's not easy to see the eyes. Mm-hmm. They are so far. And so I tend to focus everything on the body, the movement mm-hmm. to pick some feelings. Yeah.
Very nice.
But back to the gorillas, sometimes I study people. I like to sit in restaurants and look at people's eyes mm-hmm. and how they move their heads, the expressions, because oftentimes some people have a lot to say, but they can't say it because some come alone. Mm-hmm. And it's like being alone. There's mm-hmm. a difference being lonely and like just alone. Mm-hmm. Because some can be in the crowd, but when they are just lonely. Mm-hmm. So for me, I reflect this when I paint like some gorillas. I tend to give out this because some are locked up, let's say, in the zoo. Mm-hmm. And they feel lonely mm-hmm. because they would love to be out playing with other gorillas, meeting and doing whatever they have to do. So, it's carried around.
Nice.
At that point.
Okay, so you really focus everything on the eyes.
Yeah, my whole concept is about the eyes. It's all about the eyes. Based on the animals that I get a strong capture of the face. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but sometimes it can also be in the movement of the body. But number one key is the eyes that I usually focus on.
Nice.
And so my inspiration does not only come from one area. It comes from a lot of everyday life experiences. I can express sadness, happiness, love all in one picture.
Okay, all in one picture.
Yeah,
okay, so, not just maybe sadness in this one or like all
yeah, it can also be it can also be like how can I say this? It can also be sad mm-hmm. and happy, like I said, but I do that with the colors because I play mm-hmm. some colors which can give happiness and that can express calmness. And I play around like that, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah, I've seen like some
can be really, really sad based on the mood that I have.
Okay.
Or some can also be inspired by stories that are being told by friends that are going through maybe depression, hard mm-hmm. times. So when I'm painting, I'm really full of emotions. I just keep going.
And all the emotions channeled into the pictures you're painting.
Yeah.
Very nice. So it is kind of like an emotional outlet as well.
Yeah.
For you.
I mean, for me, I sometimes reflect to what people tell me because oftentimes people highlight me like a messenger. So mm-hmm. When I'm painting, I'm just like trying to transfer emotions in these animals to the person mm-hmm. seeing them. Because even me personally, when I start painting, I don't plan how I want the painting to
end. Okay, really?
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
So how does it work? Where you start and you just say maybe this animal I want to do, and then
I sketch, and when I start, I normally just start painting, because mm-hmm. when I sketch and start filling in the paint, the colors, I tend to just paint. I start usually 5 paintings at once.
Really?
Or
okay.
3, but in stages. I paint one, I pause it, mm-hmm. I start another one, then till like however I feel, it can go till 8 or just 3.
Okay.
So when I finish the first stage, I come back to the second layer. Mm-hmm. This is when I start to fill out some more colors and tend to take a break, go out, come back, look at the artwork. So whenever I'm painting, I'm not thinking. So when I paint till the time when I need to work on the eyes, that's when I start to think.
Okay.
Yeah, but before I'm just painting. I just mix any color that I have with me and have it on the canvas.
Ahead.
Yeah. But for some specific paintings, I can imagine and say, okay, I want to use red color in the background mm-hmm. to dominate the whole painting. So I then subdivide it with other small similar colors, but I tend to focus on if I want to pass out a specific color to like turquoise blue, I work on that.
Mm-hmm.
But most of other colors and other movements, because my work is very spontaneous,
mm-hmm.
how I mix my colors, I work with large tools.
Mm-hmm.
I can work with any tool that I have in my arms. So I don't have like a strict order what to paint with.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm maybe drinking something like tea and the cup is empty and I feel like I should maybe just place it. I can just place it on the canvas and
really?
It creates like a circle, and then I slide the cup off the...
Oh,
and it
really?
Creates,
okay.
So maybe one time I will have to paint live for you to see what I'm talking about. But when I'm painting, I have no specific role. I just do whatever I'm doing. So I'm not thinking until I get to the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when I put the eyes... That's when I'm thinking a lot of what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you also want to think about it, and you put a lot of thought behind how you want them to look.
Yeah.
Okay.
The eyes always come back last. When I do the eyes first, I tend to stop there.
Okay.
Yeah. Because some paintings you start, you pause, you come back, you pause,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden you realize it's already finished. But back in the days, I used to paint and just keep painting and painting. And then I work on one painting specifically to finish it. And my brain just gets locked into the idea that I started with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fixed idea
mm-hmm.
or a fixed imagination. But if I work and give it some time, go do some things or talk to people, sometimes there is a spark in the people you talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you get a story and... It influences you in a way that it appears in the artwork which
mm-hmm.
you are still
nice.
Working
okay.
on. So I like to just stay free and paint how I really feel.
Nice.
I don't really have like a strong role what to do. Yeah, it's like I have a big ship. I just do whatever I want on the ship. I don't
That's
really
so nice.
Make it to seem too strict.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun to paint with me.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. So how long do you say would it take for you to finish like one painting or like all the 5 paintings that you started?
Sometimes it's a secret.
Ah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a secret. But sometimes, let's say it can take, some paintings can take a week, two
uh-huh.
weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, 6 months.
Okay.
It depends how big the painting
mm-hmm.
is and what theme or what composition I would say. Because some artworks, I paint and pause and come back to it after like 2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay.
But when I start, I don't stop. I don't go to bed when I'm tired. I go to bed when I'm done with
really?
I wanted to do that day.
Okay.
Not like the whole painting,
but
whatever I wanted to express at this particular moment in the painting, I do it.
Okay. So you set your goal and you're like, okay, this is what I want to do today.
I say, okay, now I have to just do something about this painting, mm-hmm. and then I just keep doing. And then when I'm tired, I don't like quit. I come back to it later because I set goals. I write everything that I want to do every morning. I wake up and write.
Wow.
Yeah, this is how I function my brain. I always stick to what I say I would do and I do it.
And it always also works and you always go through with it?
Yes.
Okay.
I have to. If I don't write it like in the morning, I do it at night. Because at night, before I go to sleep, I usually write like some ideas come to me when I'm, let's say, watching a movie or talking to friends or mm-hmm. moving around the city. And then I write this idea mm-hmm. and I don't forget it. Because when you just think about something and you don't write it down or you don't, because mm-hmm. the memory can lie to you that you have it.
Yeah.
Have you had a moment where you thought of something and you say, I will do it, or I'll write it down. And then in just a few hours, you don't remember what you think about.
Yeah.
So when I think about something, I write it. This is how I store my ideas. If I say, okay, I want to have, for instance, one of the paintings that I'm working on is it's a set of dogs, a group of dogs. Mm-hmm. But I've had this idea for a long time and I'm still composing all these dogs in my head mm-hmm. on one canvas.
Okay.
Different species of dogs. And this is how I store my ideas or my imagination. Okay. Because if I think of it, I don't want to keep talking about it. I do it. So what I did, I just bought a big canvas, mm-hmm. like a mural, and then started to sketch all these dogs. So it's there just waiting to be started.
Nice. So you're not really about thinking about it for a long time, but if you have the idea, you go for it.
Yeah. I think one of the things I learned in life from the books I read, from the people that influence me, when you think about something, you have to at least write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And because when you write it down, it programs your brain,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Like manifestation?
Mm-hmm. It's like the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't, you will forget it. And whenever you remember, you may be having some background noise and you can't really focus mm-hmm. on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to write whatever I want to do down. I don't know if I answered your question. What was your question again?
I don't know.
I think I answered it.
Yeah, I think it was it was the if you had like a goal and if you have a thing you want to do and you're not really thinking about it, but you're going for it.
I was saying one of the things that I learned is if people that really make decisions very fast
mm-hmm.
are the most successful people.
Okay, yeah. Really?
Yes. People that take long to make decisions always come back
mm-hmm.
and change the just look back in your life and maybe remember some moments where you had to take a long time to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you made it, it takes you you change it very quickly.
Yeah.
But if you make a decision very fast, you change it slowly. Slowly.
Okay.
Yeah, usually I don't know. Maybe one time I will explain this a little bit in details.
Yeah, like the philosophical.
But when I think of something, I just make a decision right away and do it.
But I mean, because that is like the gut decision, right? The feeling behind it also.
Yeah, because when I take long, I get interferences.
Mm-hmm.
So I start to think more and mm-hmm. more and I tend to not do what had come to me in my imagination. So when I making decisions, I make them really quick.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't do regrets.
Yeah.
No, I just appreciate whatever decision I make.
Okay.
If it's a mistake, I learn from it and move on.
I love that. It's a very straightforward way to live. Yeah. Nice.
That's how I live. I mean, people also prefer the other side of taking time to make decisions, but there is always no right time. You have to really make the right time.
Yeah. At some point you have to make a decision anyway. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay. So how would you say that you handle setbacks? Or like, has there ever been a moment when you paint and you're like, okay, I've hit a wall. I don't know how to go on from here.
Well, I think this is expressed by everyone in the world. Nobody doesn't experience setbacks. For me, how I deal with setbacks, I tend to remember what I'm really, really grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if I meet a hard setback,
mm-hmm.
I start to remember the first time I painted. when I started to paint, how I used to paint, where my level was. And I focus more on gratitude when I'm facing a hard time like that. Mm-hmm. I try to think of things that I should be grateful for. For example, when I'm going through this hard time, mm-hmm. I think about how people respond to my mm-hmm. work. I think of these people that really get strongly touched, like friends, people that believe in me. And the best thing that I usually look up to is sometimes how much people buy or spend in the mm-hmm. artworks. Mm-hmm. Because if you do something by your hands, by your brain, yeah. and then someone spends a lot of money for it, mm-hmm. I don't see a reason why you should ever give up.
True, yeah.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. this is how I usually fight setbacks. Of yeah. course, there are some days when you feel like what you're doing is not moving forward mm-hmm. because you feel like it's slow. But I usually just, when I feel this moment, I don't do anything. I don't paint. I just go out because mm-hmm. I know this will clear. Mm-hmm. So then mm-hmm. I start to, sometimes I write down things that I'm really grateful for mm-hmm. and things that I've achieved from the time I started to where I am. So mm-hmm. this is really working out for me.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, because to be an artist or to be able to do any form of talent as like any gift as a profession, you have to really have a tough skin, a thick skin, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. so that if someone says something, it doesn't really go, doesn't penetrate mm-hmm. to really kill all your ambitions, because yeah. It's not like everyone will like whatever you do.
True.
Yeah, someone will always have something
to say about it. Yeah.
And for me, what also keeps me moving, like to have this like toughness mm-hmm. to do the setbacks, I tend to remember what my professor told me mm-hmm. at the university. He told me if you paint and reach an extent where people criticize your work mm-hmm. or criticize whatever you do, just know you got it. Don't ever stop, because then you have their attention.
Ah,
if you don't have their
yeah.
attention, then uh-huh. you are not doing anything. But unfortunately,
yeah, they don't care about you.
Passed away, yeah, long time.
Yeah,
but
true.
this is one of the things that stuck with me till now.
Yeah, that is so true. Because if they actually make the time to like and take the time to criticize yeah. you, you have something there.
Yeah, I mean, people would not criticize something that is like not strong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why even huge celebrities or people that are really, even the, for example, we take a closer look at these paintings done by like Da Vinci's, like Mona Lisa, mm-hmm. still someone will criticize something about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there is always something.
Yeah.
We can't like the same things all the time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
it's normal to me.
True.
That's one key that really solves setbacks for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I had strong problems coming up to mm-hmm. where I am, but it's what made me who I am today.
True.
So I appreciate
and you
that.
Worked through it and you
yeah.
got through it. Nice.
Yeah.
So what would you say is the most rewarding thing about your work, or the most rewarding moment when painting?
I think the people I have met, really, I mm-hmm. consider this to be most rewarding. The emotions that I capture from people, I count that as rewards.
Mm-hmm.
The collaborations I've had with different people
mm-hmm.
and people, especially I put this on people I've met, because I do my work for myself. It all started with myself. That was one reward to satisfy myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I let it open to the public. So how the public responds to it, good or bad, for me, it's like a reward. And another thing that I like is, what I consider like a biggest reward is I can travel because of my art. And that's mm-hmm. used to be my wish when I was starting with my career, because mm-hmm. I used to write it down. I wish I have to travel because of my artwork. I have to meet people to be mm-hmm. here right now in this moment. It all happened because of my work. So,
so cool.
For me, these are the rewards. The rewards are small yeah. things that I really get from people that really support me, mm-hmm. you know, that believe me. Every belief I get from someone, that's like a reward to me.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Nice.
Yeah.
So when did you start When was officially? The first time you took a paintbrush and you're like,
I started,
let's go?
2016, like to paint. Then officially 2017. Okay. And then I started to discover myself.
Cool.
Yeah, with time.
Yeah.
Because it keeps growing. What I was doing those years, it's not the same thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I keep adding more stuff to my work.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. When you look back now, you see how far you've come.
Yeah. That's how I measure my success, like from where I started to the point where I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I see that the attraction that I have, the interest of people wanting to like to talk to me about my work. And I've been to some exhibitions where random clients come in and say, oh, you're Mandy. Oh, your work really changed my life in a certain way, because I bought one artwork and I hang it near my bedroom. Every time I'm going to my bedroom or going out to my bedroom, I see this painting. And it really speaks to me. It changed my life. It's so calm. Everyone gets touched differently. Yeah. So back to also rewards. That's how I really pick my rewards as well.
Yeah. So beautiful.
Yeah.
And like, why did you start to paint? Because I mean, it was quite recently, right?
Yeah.
Before that you didn't paint.
No, I never painted. I used to draw a lot when I was growing up. I used to draw Power Rangers.
quite similar.
Yeah, and cars. I loved cars growing up, so I used to draw cars. And also when we had still life drawing classes, I used to draw a lot. But painting, I was introduced to painting at the university. But it was like, back to your question, it was really hard. Yeah, it was hard. But I paint because I really never wanted to ever leave this world before or without ever using my gift.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why I paint.
But how did you discover it?
My gift?
Yeah, while drawing as a child? Or?
Yeah, because it all goes down when I was growing up. Because when I used to draw in the drawing class, the teacher used to give the responsibility of like the task of drawing diagrams, like charts to me, like... graphics, like writing, they used to assign it to me. So I used to do that like on weekends. And when we had drawing classes, most students used to come to me for help. So this is how I started to discover my gift. So I would draw for like, I don't know, 20 students in just before the teacher came in, because they didn't have their works ready. So I used to sketch. So sometimes whenever she sat down to mark, she would see that the work is similar, the drawings are similar. So they would ask. And of course, she knew that I liked to help. So she knew that I really like to help.
Okay.
So sometimes I didn't paint. Sometimes I didn't draw for myself. I used to draw for others. And then I do my work when I'm home.
Yeah.
Yeah, because some friends used to come to me. Actually, this didn't even based on friends or non-friends. I used to do this, and this is how also I managed to get to know people's backgrounds and to make them my friends. Because I used to draw for them, and they could get some marks in art. And sometimes I didn't have my own work done, so I used to do for others and do mine at home, because the teacher would really give me time, because it was an art teacher that always told me, don't give up on what you do. And when we had like final exams, these teachers would gather like five students who are good at art, and then tell us to help others in these final exams.
Oh,
so
really?
We used to draw really fast and then help others. So at the
that
university,
is so nice.
Yeah.
So
at the university, I used to also paint for my friends. Like I paint mine quickly and then help my friends. So, yeah, for me, this is how I gathered my. This is how I got to discover myself slowly by slowly, and because whenever I do something for someone, sometimes what they say sticks with you. So some would say, "Don't ever give up. Don't." And. But what really made me go into it was my professor at the university. Yeah, he saw my work. I was submitting a research report. I didn't even want to do painting. Because it was really hard. I didn't want to submit like a lot of artworks.
Yeah.
So he was taking me through another syllabus, or I would say a course unit.
Mm-hmm.
But when he saw I had presented my research report
mm-hmm.
on a flash disk,
mm-hmm.
but there was a folder with my artworks because I was doing this at home. It was not commercial. Just doing it for myself. It was not commercial. Yeah. It was not for like academic reasons. Yeah. No.
It was just on there.
So when he opened the research,
yeah.
we went through it. And then as he was going back, he's clicked on the folder by mistake, and then he asked, "Is this your work?" So that's when he started to push me into
doing so cool.
it, because he told me, "Do it. I will be your final professor to supervise
mm-hmm.
your major. Just major in painting. Then I will supervise. Just bring me 6 artworks only.
Really?
Only.
Yeah.
And so I had to go and change my supervisor,
mm-hmm.
and he was the one in charge. So. Because he saw this in me, so that's
that is so cool.
That's like that was like a click in a minute. So mm-hmm. I can never forget that moment with wow. him in his office, because that was a life changer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was supposed to be supervised by another professor who requests you to paint on campus or like on mm-hmm. campus.
Yeah,
you have to do all the artworks at the university, but I didn't like to paint from the university. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to paint at home, take time, think, because I had a different background from other students who painted from academic, like from the university mm-hmm. office, like university studios. Yeah. I had my own life, so I didn't want to paint from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So this, nice.
So when he saw my work, this is when, so the other professors had to force him or them.
Yeah.
To let me paint live in the university so that they see that I'm the one doing the artworks.
Ah, okay.
Because it can also happen that someone paints mm-hmm. for you and you bring it at the university.
Okay. You say you do it at home, but... Okay.
So this was in the final exam. So I did that and they all believed in me. So they told me never to stop.
Yeah. And then how did you come to Vienna?
So in 2000, actually I came 2 times. In 2019, I got, I was invited by the Federal Austrian Chancellery.
Mm-hmm.
And I came for an artist residency. It was mm-hmm. a project by the, it's like Kultur Kontakt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Austria. So I was selected out of, 612,
mm-hmm.
because they wanted one artist from Africa, from different continents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was selected out of this number 600, wow. I think 12. And that's how I came.
Mm-hmm.
Spent 3.5 months in Austria. And...
in 2020, you came back again.
Yeah, so I was like painting from here and getting close to the culture, connecting with people. And then I traveled back after my residency.
Okay.
Then I got invited because we were collaborating with another gallery and mm-hmm. A family that really liked my work and wanted to invite me back, show me around, because I wanted to integrate different sceneries because I like to keep my work international, not mm-hmm. only from my country.
Yeah.
So I wanted to check out the snow and experience different seasons and see how I can reflect that in my work.
Nice.
So when I came, Corona hit.
Cool.
Yeah, when I came, Corona hit, I couldn't go back. So I stayed for some time and mm-hmm. later I started to like mm-hmm. the country and started to learn the language a little bit.
And you decided to stay?
Yeah, and I was connecting with many artists and galleries who were
mm-hmm.
requesting to show my work, so... This is where I saw maybe, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So, yeah, coming into the Viennese art scene. I think that would be my last question to you. Like, how do you see the Viennese art scene?
Yeah, the Viennese art scene is quite different from what I do, yeah. Because all the artists here also have a way they express themselves with different colors. But I would say it takes time to really bring something new to the Austrian art scene
mm-hmm.
or to be accepted. It doesn't have to be only art. It can be, I think...
everything in Austria is like very laid back and slow.
It is all slow. I think I like that Austria preserves, is one of the country that preserves its strong culture, like mm-hmm. the old culture, and they still really strongly mm-hmm. hold on to it. Because I've also observed some other countries which are also in Europe, mm-hmm. but they like Amsterdam, where Netherlands, like mm-hmm. Amsterdam, if you compare Amsterdam with Vienna, it's different because Amsterdam is more
modern today.
I wouldn't say modern, yeah. but I think they are really bringing in. Mm-hmm. Accepting. Welcoming, yeah, Austria is also accepting yeah. because in Vienna they accept really a lot of things, mm-hmm. but it's just slow.
It's harder.
Slow process. Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. Okay. And so for me, I think I just know everything is hard mm-hmm. everywhere, not only Austria.
Okay.
Even if I moved to London with my art, I think mm-hmm. it would also take time to mm-hmm. to go in. So for Austria, I think I carry on the same principles of life that I have been following. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy, but if you go in life the hard way, your life will be easy. If you go in life the easy way, your life will be hard.
Oh, so, wow.
So as wow. I say, I started to focus on smaller cities of Austria mm-hmm. With my art. So I'm having some exhibitions in some different cities, and mm-hmm. they really are welcoming. So it's coming slowly. It will be known. Yeah, yeah? It will okay. be known in Austria.
So slowly but gradually yeah, slowly. Spreading.
yeah.
Nice.
So I think with integrations are always like that. They are always slow. Yeah. So yeah, but I would say it's a strong art scene in Austria, mm-hmm. and I also find a way to integrate my work. Mm-hmm. To have something that can, yeah, that can really represent where I come from, but also share a part with the Austrian mm-hmm. art scene.
Because, oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Because now Austria is not like just it's also like it's my second home, you mm-hmm. know, because I'm living here, and wherever I live, I try to make it my home, and mm-hmm. this is reflected in my yeah. works. That's why my cityscapes also have a lot of Vienna cityscapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I paint a lot of nice. Vienna cityscapes and they do really well.
Yeah, they're beautiful. yeah. I've seen them. Yeah. So beautiful.
So I try to present it in my own way. Mm-hmm. I can go through the colors which I really like to represent mm-hmm. from my background, and mm-hmm. I involve them in the Vienna art scene.
Nice.
So this is how I try to take a piece of the old and then put it in the
beautiful.
New.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So since I'm living in Austria, my work is also like
coming
combined
together, yeah.
together and to give a representation of what, like, for example, yeah. I'm starting to paint dogs. I never even imagined that I would paint like mm-hmm. dogs. And when I come here, I got to love dogs a lot. And,
yeah.
and, so now it's like, the Austrian thing, when I see people with dogs and how they treat yeah. them, and I like the, you know, I like what yeah. I see. So I try nice. To find a way how to integrate it in my mm-hmm. work. Yeah.
Nice. But I think that's a really beautiful picture that you said. It's like Vienna yeah. is a second home.
Yeah.
So you integrate like your first home and your second home in yeah. your art and your pictures. It's
yeah.
very nice.
So I think for the art scene, it's really difficult, but for me, I know everything is difficult. You have to just persist. You have to mm-hmm. keep moving and moving, because nowhere it's easy. So yeah. the art scene is hard, but I would say I'm grateful.
Yeah. yeah,
really, I've met so many important people mm-hmm. that are helping me with my art in Austria. So I think I'm grateful for that.
Nice.
Yeah, it's different, but it should be different.
nice. Yeah. It's beautiful. Okay, well then, thank you so much. I think this is the end. Is there anything left you want to say?
like maybe this would go to my fellow artists.
Yeah.
it would be like a message. Like I would like advise them to keep doing what they're doing and to keep believing in themselves and to never to give up. It doesn't matter what kind mm-hmm. of art you do. It can be filming, photography, or dancing. Anything, but you should never give up and always surround themselves mm-hmm. with people that really believe in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people that really, that people see what they can, what they are capable of doing, mm-hmm. even though they are not yet doing what they're really doing. But in summary, like, to surround themselves with people that really have the highest mm-hmm. belief in them, that can support them. It doesn't have to be with like money, but it can be with how they keep them motivated and encouraging them to keep doing what they're doing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing this last advice and sharing all of your stories and insights and for being here.
Thank you for welcoming me here, because I believe this podcast is really, really helpful for everyone. And I believe that what new culture is really a strong term to use for this mm-hmm. really new generation. Because when I saw your podcast, when I was invited to come to new culture, mm-hmm. I was touched immediately because of the things you plan to do for the
mm-hmm.
for the artists and for so many people that come from different cultures. I believe they have a lot to share, a lot to experience, and a lot mm-hmm. to give to the society. So I really thank you for inviting me here, and I'm looking forward. I'll keep following your podcast, and I will see you soon again.
Yes.
I heard you have another event in April.
Yes.
19th, right?
Voices and Visions event. Yes.
Yes.
We can
see
there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this event because I'm sure it's going to be.
Okay.
So please, whoever is listening to this podcast or watching.
This is the camera. This is your camera.
We have a lot of stuff coming. So please come and share with us your experience. This is a free platform. All cultures are invited. So please feel at home. Please come and connect with us. And we have a lot to give you as well. Yeah.
Nice.
And hopefully I'm most likely to be here painting live on the event if all goes well, but we'll discuss that more. But
very nice.
I'm happy to be here, and thank you, and yeah, wish you a great time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so I don't even have to do the outro now because you put it so beautifully, but thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in again. You can find all the infos about Monday in the description. You can find us on Spotify and YouTube, and yeah, if you liked it, please subscribe. And if you don't like it, you can still subscribe and support your friendly neighborhood artists. Thank you.